We sung in that hymn, 202, What Will It Be to Dwell Above? We think of all those happy thoughts that brighten all this dreary plain, and no heart can think and no tongue can tell.
Louder, brother.
Do we not have a volume on this, or is that not coming?
It's not coming.
Not coming. I was expecting it was, sorry. So we think of all these things that are so happy and in our future because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, that no heart can think and no tongue can tell. But the next verse goes on to talk about being in this scene of faith and strife. Flesh and sense deceive us here, and there are difficulties in our pathway as we go along here below. And we can be thankful that the happy day is fixed, and yet there's room now for exercise as to what we can do since we've been left here for the time being. I remember a brother or a comment was made once that the only downside of the rapture is that the day of opportunity is gone forever. I thought that was an interesting way to look at things, because while we're here, we have opportunity, but the day is coming when that time is going to be over. There was a time when I was, let's turn to 1 Kings 18. We used to live in the country, and we had a wood stove, and we used to go bring wood from different places. At one point, I had a load of mill ends from a truss factory, and I brought them home, and my two boys were maybe, I don't know, 8 and 12, and I set them to work unloading the trailer. And the younger one sat down in a corner and started playing with the blocks. He was having great fun. The older one pitched right in, and I was helping there. All of a sudden, the younger one looked around and said, "Well, where's all the wood? I wanted to help too." But you know what? The opportunity was gone. And if there's one word I want you to remember today, is potential. And I look out at faces here, and there's an awful lot of younger ones, and there's an awful lot of potential in this room. And I wonder, how is it going to be used? What are you going to do with what the Lord has given you? It's been said already that we have heaven before us. We're thankful our sins are forgiven. That's a certainty. We know where we're going. Are we going to be comfortable with that, dear young people? Is that enough for you? Is that enough to know your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven? Is that all you want from God? I hope not. God has a rich and happy life in view for you. And as I have read in 1 Kings 18, it's been interesting to me. To take this up in that light, we know the setting of the story was Elijah had been to Mount Carmel and the 400 priests had been slain. Then there's an interesting story, portion of the story that starts in verse 41 that I would like us to consider this afternoon by way of a little application along these lines that I've been speaking. Now, there had been a drought in the land for perhaps 3.5 years. In verse 41, Elijah says unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now, in Walla Walla every year, we have maybe three months of the year when we hardly see any rain. The dust gets really thick, and we're just so happy to think that the rain is going to be coming eventually. And when it does, it even smells good because it wets the stubble, and just a wonderful time, time of refreshing. So I like to think of this. There's a sound of abundance of rain. And I want to take that today in an application connection with blessing among the Lord's people. Are you interested in that today? Are you interested in what you can get out of life? What you can get out of your family? What you can get from your brethren? From the safety that you get from being here among those who want to go on with the Lord, and you get the benefit of being in the company, as it says in other places in Scripture. I hope that's not all you want today. I hope there's a purpose in your heart to go on for the Lord and to be a blessing among the Lord's people. And I see potential for blessing here today. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now here's two different people doing two different things. And I wonder which one you're doing in your life these days. Are you eating and drinking, having a great time, enjoying life, maybe finishing up school, maybe anticipating having a spouse? Maybe the world is all before you and it looks bright and glittery. Opportunity, options. What am I going to do? Is it all about you, dear young person, dear older one? Why are we here? We're left here to be one that brings pleasure to God. And we don't do that by going our own way and doing our own things. I believe with all my heart that if we take care of what the Lord puts before us to do, we're going to find a happy life. And if we go seek it for ourselves, we're going to find out it wasn't very happy. We may be happy for a while. We may do some fun things. We may accomplish some interesting things. But when you get down to the end of the road, what is it going to be? Some here may have heard, I'm sure they've heard about, Harry Hayhoe saying, "You'll never meet a man who walked with God who at the end of his life said, 'I wish I hadn't done it.'" I can stand here as one that can say, and I'm sure all the older ones, and I hope a lot of the younger ones can say it, nod their heads, there's been much blessing that the Lord has brought into my life as I've yielded myself to Him and His desires, His will, expressed in the Scriptures. And I also can say I've had a lot of disappointments when I've gone my own way and done things the way I thought they ought to be done. Somebody here went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of the mountain, which speaks to me of a place of communion. And what did he do? He cast himself down and upon the earth and put his face between his knees. We had meetings prior to this. We were speaking of meekness and lowliness. And if you put your face, you cast yourself down upon the earth and put your face between your knees, you're pretty low. You're not thinking about what you look like in the mirror. You're not wanting to present yourself very, very, I don't even know what the word would be, when you go to a business meeting or something. Put your best foot forward. No, this man was in earnest. And it was prayed before the meeting about the older and the younger. And I just want to say, here's a word for the older. Elijah, I don't know how old he was at this point. Maybe someone could help me with that after the meeting. But here he was. He was on his face before the Lord, seeking the blessing, desiring the blessing to come, while others were eating and drinking. At one point, maybe some of you know William Bothwell. At one point, I became heir to some of his ministry. I had opportunity to call him one time, speak with him about some things. I said to him, "Brother, how is it that you ended up with so much nice ministry and these thoughts? I've really enjoyed some of the things you've written." He said, "Brother, while men slept," was all he said. Are we eating and drinking? Are we sleeping? What do we have to show for our lives to this point? You don't have to be very old to be able to sit down with the scriptures and help another young person out. A child. Maybe an older one. You say, "Brother, I've enjoyed this." And just share something with somebody. Have you done that? I hope you've done it a lot. I hope you enjoy doing that. Because that's what we need in these days. Not long ago, a brother, Rob Morrell, in Walla Walla had a Sunday school, and he talked about passing the baton. He used to run in track, and maybe it was a 440 relay, I forget. But the idea of passing the baton, and the fellow in front is supposed to take the baton and take off with it. And these people had to work in concert, or they weren't going to win the race. And you can't drop the baton, but there's a way to pass it off. He was describing it to us in the Sunday school. But it's an important thing. And there are older ones here. A lot of us have gray hairs. This brother that prayed about the old men, he's getting up in years. And we're looking out wondering who's coming after us. When we were in Japan the first time, Brother Fujishiro said to me, "There are a couple things I'm concerned about here in Japan. And one of them is, I don't know who's coming after me." You know, there was a time later on, 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elisha picked up the mantle that fell from Elijah. That's like passing the baton. And there are ones here that are older. You know, BTP is in difficulties right now because they have maybe a workforce crisis. And I say in the course of the conversation, I'm telling people sometimes about that to try to encourage people at least to pray for BTP, that they could have some more workers there and have a workforce that could get done what needs to get done. And among those comments I make, one is Don Rule's about 70 years old. Do you ever think about that? This is not easy. We're getting older. And you look out and you say, who's coming along? Who's going to take the baton? So, while some are eating and drinking, sleeping, some are praying. And wondering, who's coming along? So, verse 43, Elijah says to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." Now, here's a sea of faces in front of me. Lots of pairs of eyes looking back at me. Here's the sea, okay? He says, "Go look toward the sea." And he went up and looked, and he came back. And what did he say? "I don't see anything. There is nothing," he says. That's a concern to us that are older. It was a concern to Brother Fujishiro. I don't know who's coming after me. Who will pick up the mantle? In the middle of verse 43, he went up and looked and said, there is nothing, and Elijah wouldn't give up. He said, go again 7 times. So he comes back the second time, said, there's nothing. Go again, comes back the third time. I'm afraid I don't see anything. I don't have any idea where this blessing is coming from that you're talking about. Well, go again and look. He went again, and he went again, and he went the sixth time, and he came back and said, I don't see anything. He said, go one more time. Excuse me if I'm adding something to Scripture, but he says, go again. 7 times, and it came to pass, verse 44, at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And I envision looking out over a cloudless sea, and there's this little cloud, and it looks like a hand. And maybe it's reaching up to get a hold of things out of the mass. I trust there's some of you that want to go on with the Lord no matter what the others around you are doing. It's an individual pathway. You and I are going to each individually stand in the Lord's presence in a soon coming day. And he wants to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And our exercise ought to be, I hope he can say that in a little measure to us. So there's this hand reaching up. I like to think of reaching up for the blessing that God has to offer and to get a hold of things so that as we go around among the Lord's people, as we're in the workplace, in the community, wherever it might be, there can be some blessing from our life, something from the Lord to a needy scene. And all of us fit in that category of being needy. We need someone to come along from time to time. We need encouragement. We need somebody to come along. Brother, have you enjoyed? Let me show this verse I enjoyed the other day. And it's such an encouraging thing. You can do that. Do you have a desire to? Or do you just want to live for yourself? I think there's no one here that's older. No one here that's done a lot of things, like maybe our brother Jim, travel a million miles on the airplane. But we all can do something. You don't have to be either that or nothing. We talk about being, maybe you hear the term, in the Lord's work. I hope every one of you is in the Lord's work and has a desire that way, in some degree at least. Or are you saying to him, well, I don't think you're worthy of my time? Are we saying that to the Lord? I got my things. I'm busy. Thanks for the ticket to heaven, but this idea of intimacy and going on in service, I'm not sure about that. He's worthy, whether you know it or not. And may the Lord bring each one of us into more of an appreciation of how worthy he is of everything we have and everything we are. I think of the book Pilgrim's Progress. Think of Christian getting through the course, if you will, and coming to the river. And then it was told him, the king has something for you to do. It's not time to go over yet. And he was sent back to be a help, to be working in the king's workplace in some way or another. He had things to do. You have things to do. I have things to do. May we be encouraged to take up those things because time is running out. And let's not just eat and drink and sleep, but let's wake up, seek to be here for the Lord Jesus. And those of us that are older, don't forget to pray. Be much before the Lord about who's coming after us do what we can to encourage them, lead them on in the right direction, because the Lord only knows how much there is that's out there by way of information and activities and things that we can get involved in that we're going to end up at the end and say was not very fruitful. So may the Lord encourage our hearts so that we can be a part of that blessing. We read in verse 45, came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. May the Lord grant there might be much blessing among his people, and that you and I might each be exercised as to what our part in that might be for his glory.